Hello, everybody. This is Bible teacher Mark Browning. We're coming to you again with a dynamic Bible lesson. We appreciate y'all tuning in. You're either listening to me on the internet or you're listening to me on the radio station. So we're going to get right into our Bible class. We've started a new teaching. I introduced it last week. I didn't really give it a title, but we've started a new teaching called, Are We Fully Teaching the Gospel? Are we fully teaching the gospel? And part one, I talked about last week, and if you go on the internet, you'll see it under the sermon title, The Full Gospel, and our website is lifeinchristchurch.net, and you can download these sermons anytime, listen to them anywhere. So we're going to continue this discussion. This got kind of birthed in me because some of y'all know that I'm going to an evangelical church up here in Queen Creek, and I like the minister. He's anointed. He's called by God. But I know that they're not fully teaching the gospel. But when I said that, and when I make that statement, I want everybody to understand that I am not fully teaching the gospel to the level it should be taught. And I think probably in the history of Christianity, I think the person that probably came the closest to doing that is the Apostle Paul. And we're going to talk about him today. And then we're going to get it to maybe talk a little bit about Peter and maybe talk about some of the other people in the book of Acts. And then we're going to let the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the boss of Christianity, we're going to let Jesus Christ talk about healing. And hopefully it'll change some people's opinion because we're not fully teaching the gospel, and especially evangelical churches aren't fully teaching the gospel. I think I've got a really good explanation for you. I think if you'll listen to me and keep an open mind, you'll understand why I think we've gone that direction. So our golden text for this Bible series is Romans 15:19. Romans 15:19 says, this is the words of the Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books of the New Testament. He wrote over two-thirds of the New Testament. This is out of the book of Romans. He says, in mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Here's a human being born from a man and a woman. Here's a human being who says that he's fully preached the gospel. So don't say it can't be done, because either he's a liar or we've got to agree with the scriptures, and I believe the scriptures tell the truth. So he says that he fully preached the gospel, and one of the ways he fully preached the gospel was in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. By the way, this church I'm going to, they're evangelical. They want to see people saved. They want to see people baptized in water. They want to see people generous. They want to see married couples get along. They want to see single people be able to be single in their Christianity. They want to see people who are addicted get set free from addiction. They're very generous. They give of their resources. They have a Bible camp. What did they send last year? 5,000 kids to Bible camp. And so they do some great things, but they're not fully preaching the gospel, and they're not fully teaching the gospel, just like I'm admitting to you that I haven't been fully teaching and preaching the gospel. And I'll give you these first couple of Bible lessons are more about what I have been doing and how I have been teaching the gospel a little deeper than they have. But I'm going to spend a couple of Sundays, maybe just one, talking about some things that I fell short on. So this is not to beat anybody up. This is to bring constructive criticism. Can I get an amen, Teresa?
Amen.
Just so you know that it's by the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. He says this in Acts chapter 20, verses 25 to 27. I want to read these to you. He says, and indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. That is an amazing statement. And I'm going to keep saying this, and I'm not saying these things because, you know, I want to beat myself up, but there's been people that's come into my life. I had an opportunity to maybe tell them about Jesus, and I didn't do it. And again, I'm going to heaven, not because of my works, but because of my faith in the Lord Jesus, and his grace and his mercy endures forever. But here's a man that said that he's innocent of the blood of all men. And he says in verse 27, For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. He fully preached the gospel, he said in Romans 15, 19. And in Acts 20, 27, he says that he has declared to everybody that he had an opportunity to minister to the whole counsel of God. So I meditate on things and I think about things and I pray in tongues. And yes, if you didn't hear last week's sermon, go back and listen to last week's sermon, because you're not fully preaching the gospel. You're not fully teaching the gospel if you don't teach people about talking in tongues. But when I pray in tongues and meditate, I think about my sermons, and the Lord has really led me a direction that I think is going to really be illuminating for folk if they'll humble themselves and submit to my teaching anointing. So if you go to Romans chapter 1, that's the first epistle in the New Testament, and it's the first book in the New Testament that's written by the Apostle Paul. And I give Paul credit for writing the books of Romans all the way to Hebrews. I don't have time to fight with anybody about the book of Hebrews, but if you give him those books, then you'll see that he wrote 13 epistles, which is 2/3 of the New Testament. But he makes this statement in Romans 1:16. It's a very famous verse. For I, and I want you to pay attention to this now, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Now, this is a famous verse, and he said he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I don't have time to develop this in this Bible lesson, but that word salvation means way more than just going to heaven when you die. It's the Greek word sozo, and it means that God, through the gospel, has provided every provision anybody will ever need through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I want you to just focus on that. And that's one of the problems, is that the English language is limited in translating the New Testament that was written in Greek, in translating the meaning of the words, because Greek words have more than one meaning. But this salvation word means that God gave you everything. Jesus Christ, when he died, took care of us spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, and socially. And if there's any other lees you can think of, he took care of it. And I'm telling you, we're only preaching a part of what Jesus provided for us. We are not fully teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're only teaching a part of it. And one of the reasons that is because most evangelical churches, now listen, this came from God, so you're going to have to honor what I'm telling you. All evangelical churches believe in salvation. They believe in the salvation experience. They believe that you have to have a conversion experience. And they want to see people converted to the Lord, and they want to see people live a Christian life. I don't think there's any doubt about that. If you're going to a church and they don't believe in conversion, and they don't want to see their congregation lead Christian lives, you know, godly Christian lives, you're in a bad church. You're not in a Christian church at all. You're just in a church maybe that's wrapped up in ceremony and tradition and rituals. But you've got to go somewhere where people talk to you about becoming a Christian. You're not a Christian because you get baptized as an infant. You're not a Christian because you might have got confirmed at 12 years of age. You're not a Christian because you might have got baptized in water. Listen very carefully. When you were an adult, you're not a Christian because you went to church on Christmas and Easter. We got Christmas coming up, and some people's going to get out of bed and go to church on Christmas, but that don't necessarily make you a Christian. You become a Christian when you convert from death to life, when you convert and have a conversion experience where you know in your heart that you've now gave your life to Jesus Christ. And evangelical churches teach that. Evangelical churches minister that way. And God has blessed those churches and promoted those churches. And the church I'm going to, in all the campuses around the Phoenix area, they have 11,000 people coming to church. The largest congregation I ever stirred up at Sierra Vista, Arizona, on 2300 Las Brisas Way, in a church that Teresa Browning was the architectural designer of. The most people we ever stirred up was 153 people. 153 people came one Sunday to our church. But these people have 11,000 people coming to the church, and God's blessing is on them. But they're not fully teaching the gospel. But I'm going to tell you why. The reason they're not fully teaching the gospel is because the Apostle Paul gave out enough information about being saved and about converting to Jesus that you can bypass some scriptures that you don't want to deal with. But listen to me very carefully. See, I consider myself to be a Christian because I believe that the Bible is the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And I believe that if you're going to be a sincere, genuine Christian, you've got to accept all of it. And you can't just pick and choose the parts you want to tell people about. But you see, Paul wrote enough stuff about salvation and about going to heaven. So did Peter. So did John. So did James. They wrote enough stuff about getting you into the kingdom of God. They don't have to deal with scriptures that they don't understand or that doesn't fit their doctrine. But I'm here to tell you that if you're a true Bible teacher, if you're somebody that really is called by God to teach scripture, you can't leave stuff out, and you've got to fully proclaim the gospel, and you've got to give people the whole counsel of God. Do you see where I'm going, Trace?
Yes.
So let me give you an example. So remember, Romans 1:16 says he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, here's some verses in chapter 3 that we all agree on. We're going to get to verse 23 of Romans 3, and I'm going to tell you that if you don't agree with these passages of scripture, then you're not really an evangelical Christian. I'd say if you don't agree with these scriptures, I don't know if you really have actually come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. But here's what he says in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every good Bible-believing church will tell everybody that. Every good Bible-believing church will tell everybody, listen, we've all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. And that's hard. See, now that's hard on some people because, see, people want to judge themselves against somebody else instead of judging themselves against the law of God. And if you judge yourself against somebody else, well, I might be better than so-and-so. I might not have done as bad a thing as so-and-so, but I guarantee you when I'm standing before God and asked to be judged on his standard, I've sinned. You see that? I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I've lusted in my heart. You listen to me? I've told lies. I haven't always give 100% on my job. I mean, there's all kinds of ways. The Bible says anything that's not of faith is sin. I've known to do the right thing and didn't do it. So the truth is, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and every Bible-believing, Bible-centered church agrees with that. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Verse 24, here's the good news. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Again, every Bible-believing, evangelical, charismatic, full gospel church believes that we've been justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, whom God set forth as a atoning sacrifice or as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. And then we're going to go down to verse 27 and 28. Where is boasting then? Nowhere. It's nowhere to be found. You can't boast. You didn't earn your way into heaven. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Here it is. I love Paul. I loved any class where the teacher told me what the conclusion was they were trying to get me to know. I loved anybody that said that in a class I took. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Let's say that out loud. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Again, every evangelical, God-fearing, Bible-loving, Christ-centered church will say amen to these verses. And I'm here to tell you that there's enough verses in Paul's epistles. It's called the Pauline Revelation. There's enough verses in Paul's epistle. There's enough verses in Peter's epistles. There's enough verses in James's epistle that you can center your Bible lesson strictly on salvation and skip a lot of other things that God wants us to know about, to include speaking in tongues and divine healing and understanding that God is not the one making you sick.
Amen.
I got an amen from Teresa. I wonder how many people out there in the atmosphere gave me an amen. See, that's because there's enough stuff in here about salvation and about conversion that you don't have to deal with some of the truths you don't want to have to deal with, because number one, you may not know it. And I'm going to give some people the benefit of the doubt and claim that they've never got the revelation. Or number two, you don't want to share all the hard things, because if you share the hard things, you might not have a mega church anymore. But you see, I'm in a position where I don't have to worry about mega church. I just got to worry about keeping about 10 Zoomers happy. And whoever's listening to me on the radio and on the internet, if they don't like what I'm saying, they can just turn it off. And I'm in a position, and I've always shared the truth as best as I knew it, that I'm going to tell people what's in the Bible, and I'm not going to skip stuff, and especially when it's stuff that's beneficial to you. Praying in tongues is beneficial. When you pray in tongues, your spirit prays directly to God, and you pray revelation and secret mysteries. And Paul said he prayed in tongues more than anybody, so he was a tongue talker. And then when you talk about healing for the physical body, and you talk about that in relation to the gospel, I think people deserve to know that God's not the cause of sickness, and that there are places and there are things in the Bible that will teach you how to walk in divine health and how to be healed if you do have something wrong in your body, because there's going to come a time in all of our lives where medical science may let us down and can't get the job done. And then all you're going to have left is God. And if you never knew that God wanted you well, and that Jesus not only provided for your salvation, he also provided for the healing of your body, the restoration of your mind, and the restoration of your finances, then you won't be able to go to God in faith, because faith begins with the knowledge of God. Faith begins with the knowledge of the will of God. Oh, see, that's why you got to listen to these things more than one time. You just have to. I give you so much information and I talk fast because I don't know sometimes if I'm going to see you again or hear from you again. So here we go. This is the reason why people are able to spend their entire Christian lives teaching only about salvation, only about the conversion experience, only about, you know, making sure that you live a good Christian, clean life, and that God wants you to have a good marriage, and he wants you to get along socially and morally, and he don't want you to be addicted to stuff, because there's enough Bible verses that you can bypass things that you don't have either the knowledge to tell people about, or you don't have the courage to tell people about. So remember, Paul said in Romans 1:16 that he was not, you don't have to turn there, that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Remember that? Keep your mind on that, and let's look at Acts chapter 14, and then I'm going to ask you how many evangelical churches teach this Bible lesson or tell this story, because it's the Word of God, and it's about the Apostle Paul, who said he fully taught and fully preached the gospel, and he gave everybody the whole counsel of God. Let's get down to about verse 6. They're on a missionary journey. Now follow along with me. And all you guys that participate in our Bible studies on Monday night, if you're not doing that, oh, I'd encourage you to get in on our Bible studies on Monday nights. They're 6 o'clock Arizona time. It's an opportunity for you to ask questions and read the Bible verses out loud. And we discuss what we talk about on our Thursday Zoom Bible class. So anyway, here we are in Acts 14:6. And it's Paul and Barnabas are out at a missionary journey. And it says, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. Now look at verse 7. And they were preaching the gospel there. Teresa, what were they doing there?
Preaching the gospel.
What were they doing?
Preaching the gospel.
They were preaching the gospel. Remember, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. What was Paul speaking?
The gospel.
Was he not ashamed of the gospel?
No.
Is it the power of God unto salvation?
Yes.
This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Now let's use our heads. Let's think about something. Here's a man that's hearing Paul preach the gospel. Remember, Paul said he fully preached the gospel and he declared the whole counsel of God. Could a man have faith to be healed? See, remember, he says he saw that he had faith to be healed. Could a man have faith to be healed if the person teaching the gospel didn't tell him that God wanted him well? No. No, remember, faith begins where the will of God is known. So of necessity, if Paul was preaching the gospel, he was not only telling them the stuff he told them in Romans chapter 3, he wasn't just telling them that all of y'all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He also told them what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53 and what Matthew said in Matthew chapter 8, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. He preached the full gospel. He gave people the whole counsel of God. I have been going to this church since we moved up to Queen Creek, and I've never heard anybody up there talk about physical healing or talk about divine healing and talk about the fact that healing is part of the gospel. And the only thing that they ever recommend and the only thing they ever discuss relative to healing is go to the best doctor you can and see what they can do for you. Now, I'm not opposed to medical science. I'm not opposed to doctors. I've told everybody that listens to my Bible classes on a regular basis, I believe in health insurance and I believe in life insurance, because the stuff I'm teaching is stuff that takes dedication. It takes worldly separation. It takes legitimate, diligent Bible study. And few Christians are willing to pay the price to do that, because the next football game is going to come on in a few minutes, or the next soap opera is going to come on in a few minutes, or I got to get my kids over to soccer or Little League, or, you know, there's always something else to do. And if you're not going to dedicate your life to this, you're probably not going to see the great fruit and the great result of it. But be that as it may, it's my responsibility as a Bible teacher to give people the whole counsel of God. And Paul in Lystra preached the whole counsel of God to include physical healing for a man. Let's see what was wrong with him. A cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This guy had never walked. And yet he heard Paul preach in such a way that faith came into his heart, where he could believe that God did not want him to be a cripple. And he leaped and walked and was made whole that very day, because Paul declared the whole counsel of God and fully preached, and he saw this great miracle. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Now think about that. And if you're listening by radio or internet, or you're at Fry's grocery store, or you're getting ready to go into Walmart, or I don't know, in Sierra Vista on Sunday mornings, there's not very many places to go. I'm hoping some of you are going to church, but I hope you're going to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And at a bare minimum, I want everybody to be going to an evangelical church that teaches about the necessity of a conversion experience, that teaches about the fact that we should live good, godly lives, that we should be good spouses, good parents, good friends, good citizens, and we ought to be generous with our money, because stinginess is not part of the kingdom of God. Are you listening to me? At a minimum, I'm hoping you're going to that church, that kind of church. If you're just going to a church where they're shouting a bunch of rituals and they're going through some kind of thing and they don't tell you this information, find you a good church that's giving you at least the information that'll get you into heaven. But I'll tell you another thing that you ought to do is you ought to make it a regular thing to listen to what I've got to say, because I'm telling you, I'm giving you all the stuff that I know that's in the scriptures to the best of my ability. And I'm telling you, if you're struggling with physical problems or mental problems or financial problems or social problems, I'm here to tell you the gospel of Jesus Christ covers your need, and you just need to release your faith and say, you know what, in the name of Jesus, I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ not only provides for my salvation, it not only provides for me to have a home in heaven, but it also means I can have all these other things because God loves me completely, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and economically.
Amen.
Man, that's good stuff. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask the Zoomers if I can get a raise. I might ask for a raise. But anyway, so somebody said, all right. Well, let's go over here to Acts chapter 28. Let's see if Paul did anything else like that. Look at Acts 28. Acts chapter 28. So remember the Bible class, the Bible lesson. Are we fully teaching the gospel? Are we fully teaching the gospel? Remember now, I'm not saying these things because I'm doing it perfectly. I'm not saying these things because I'm trying to condemn anybody. I'm going to come to you a couple of Bible lessons down the road and tell you that I've been way too soft on talking to people about a separated life and a committed life. I didn't do enough of that when I was teaching on 2300 Los Brisas Way, but I'm doing better at that. And I'm trying to follow the same thing I'm teaching. Amen.
Amen.
Now listen to this. Let's look at Acts 28. This is the last chapter in the book of Acts. Acts 28, verse 7. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius. You know what? I don't think I'm pronouncing that name right. I think I heard a Bible teacher say this. I think that's a different pronunciation. But we always use the phrase Publius. And humorously, I always tell my son that me and Teresa were thinking of naming him Publius. And for whatever reason, he gets mad about that. But anyway, in that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. Verse 8, and it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Oh, now stop a minute. If I've only been to an evangelical church, listen to me, follow me now, respect what I'm saying. Don't get mad at me. Respect what I'm saying. Understand that I'm not getting to a place where I can do what Paul did, but I want you to see what the scriptures say. I want you to understand the full gospel, the whole counsel of God. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Here's what the evangelical church, here's what the verse would say. Paul went into him and gave him the phone number of his internist, his general practitioner. I got a doctor in Jerusalem that'll really help you out. I'm just making this up humorously. If I was at an evangelical church, that's all we'd offer this guy. Paul went into him and said, well, you know, it might be God's will for you to be sick. Paul went into him and said, you know, God's sovereign. And, you know, he may not want to heal you. Let me ask you this. If you tell that to people while you're preaching, is any faith going to come to them?
No.
If he'd have told the guy at Lystra, you know, I don't know for sure if God wants you well. I don't know if it's God's will. Maybe you did something wrong to deserve to be crippled. Would that guy have gotten off the ground and leaped and walked? No. He told him the gospel. Oh, I wish I could shout it from the rooftops. He told him the gospel. Paul went into him and prayed. And he laid his hands on him and healed him. Who healed him? Paul did. Now, I know God's the one that does the healing, but Paul's actually the one that laid his hands on him and healed him. You know what Mark 16 says? Mark 16, at the last part of the chapter, says that we will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I haven't seen a prayer line for sick people since I've been going to this evangelical church. You know why? They don't believe it. Or if they do believe it, they're scared to teach it. I'm not going to leave these scripture verses out. I'm not going to do it. I'm a full gospel spirit-filled child of God. I'm going to tell people you ought to pray in tongues, and I'm going to tell people that it's God's will for you to be well. He didn't bring sickness and disease when he came. He brought healing. He said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus went about doing the will of God. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. He laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, listen to this now. How many churches have we gone to that this is how it's working out? Do y'all see my heart on this? I hope you see my heart on this. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but it grieves me to have to listen to people only teach half the gospel. It grieves me when people make excuses for people being sick and broke and depressed and lonely. It grieves me, especially they blame it on God and make it God's problem, as though God has some mystical, mythical reason for that being that way. No. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. Isn't that amazing? See, there's enough stuff that the Apostle Paul wrote about salvation in the 13 epistles that he wrote. There's enough Bible verses in there that you can skip some of the things that you don't understand or that you don't have the courage to tell people. And so you can be evangelical, but not tell everybody everything. Let's don't skip it. Let's look at it. Let's read it. Let's study it. Let's offer it to people. Let's lay hands on the sick. Paul healed them. And you got to stay with me because we're going to introduce what Jesus said in Matthew's gospel. But I want you to see this. I want you to understand that if you really are talking about teaching the full gospel and the whole counsel of God, you have to include supernatural divine healing. You have to include provision for the total man. You have to understand that it's not God's will for you to be sick, broke, depressed, lonely, have phobias. Amen. Worry about everything. Amen. No, Jesus came to set us free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, let's go to Acts 10:38. Let's talk about that, and then we'll do some praying for some folk. You do understand that you can go through the whole Bible and just pick out stuff dealing with salvation and never have to deal with healing and all that other stuff, because there's enough verses in there that you can get by every Sunday telling everybody about how to get saved. But you know what? Once I get saved, I want to know what else is out there. I want to know what else is available to me. I want to know the whole counsel of God. I want to get taught the whole counsel of God. So Acts chapter 10, Peter has gone to convert the first Gentiles into Christianity. And he's been given an opportunity to minister to Cornelius and to Cornelius's family and friends that Cornelius has invited over. And he begins to teach and tell people about Jesus Christ. In fact, let's just read some of the whole sermon. I'm going to start at verse 34. Again, Peter is one of the apostles. He wrote two books in the New Testament, 1st and 2nd Peter. And again, there's other verses in 1st and 2nd Peter you can pull out of there to teach people about salvation. But notice what Peter tells the first Gentile converts, what his message is. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, oh, I love this. I'm glad this is true. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Isn't that beautiful? That means every one of us that's listening and every one of us that's seeking God, he doesn't have a favorite. He loves all of us the same.
Amen.
Verse 35, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Isn't that a great man? I want to read that verse again. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Here it is, verse 38. Here's what he tells the Gentiles about Jesus. how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Man, if you have never marked a verse in your Bible, if you've never got your Bible marked up, mark that verse. He told Cornelius, the first Gentile convert, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So let's think about it. Who caused that man to be crippled from his mother's womb?
The devil.
Everybody, the devil. Who caused Publius, his father, to be sick of a fever and dysentery? What caused that?
The devil.
Not necessarily the devil personally, but just being in a sin-cursed world that through Satan, sickness entered the world. You follow me? Everybody see that? And then all those other people that came from the island to be healed. Did God make them sick?
Nope.
Did God give them the fever and the dysentery?
No.
Did God want this man to be crippled from his mother's womb?
No.
Does God want you sick?
No.
Does God want you to have cancer?
No.
Does God want you to be depressed?
No.
Does God want you to be broke?
No.
Does God want you to be lonely?
No.
Now, my Zoomers on Monday night, you know what the answer to all these questions are, right?
Yeah.
No. I have to get them ready for Bible class on Monday. I hope you see that. See, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, listen, if you've been listening by radio or internet, I want to do a couple of things. The first thing I want to do is I want to invite you into the kingdom of God. I want you to invite you to leave the kingdom of darkness and come into the Son of God's love. And you do that by receiving Jesus. As many as received Jesus, the Bible says, to them God gave the right to become children of God. So call on the name of the Lord. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. His name is Jesus. So say this with me. Say, dear God.
Dear God.
I'm calling on the name of Jesus.
Calling on the name of Jesus.
I want to be saved.
I want to be saved.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
And I turn to you.
And I turn to you.
I believe
that Jesus
is the Son of God.
Is the Son of God.
And that he died for my sins.
And he died for my sins.
And he rose from the dead for my justification.
And he rose from the dead for my justification.
I receive him now. As Lord.
As Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you're a child of God. Get a Bible, start reading the Gospel of John, and then keep reading all the way to Revelation. Just keep reading. Now, if you're listening by radio or internet and you're struggling with sickness, depression, poverty, loneliness, phobias, I'm going to pray for you right now, because there's no time or distance in the Spirit. And I'm going to pray like Paul prayed for Publius's dad. And I'm going to pray, and in the name of Jesus, reach out right now and just reach out towards me right now and say, and I'm going to pray this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying for everybody today on this that's hearing this by radio or by internet. And I'm praying in the name of Jesus that if they've got sickness in their body, I'm commanding them to be made whole. If they're depressed, I command them to be restored. If they're lonely, I command the comfort of God to come to them. If they're financially struggling, I command that they understand that you don't want them that way. Now, I also know that there's certain things that we need to evaluate in our own lives to determine if there's things we need to change so we won't keep going through the same problems. On some of this stuff, I'm going to ask the Lord to grant you the wisdom you need to show you why it is you keep getting into these same things. But right now, in the name of Jesus, specifically to everybody struggling with sickness and disease, I'm asking you to be made whole and restored by the sound of my voice. And in the name of Jesus, I want you to reach out and take it in Jesus' holy name. And Father, I thank you for the opportunity to proclaim the full gospel. I pray that everybody that has listened to me today will respect what we've said. I pray that if there's a Bible teacher or a Bible minister out there, that if they've hooked up to this, that they'll begin to study their Bible and not skip verses, but begin to read and begin to tell people the whole counsel of God and to fully proclaim the gospel. We owe it to the Lord Jesus because he did these things so we could be made whole. And so we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in the holy and mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.